Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Just one more reason we got to do away with grizzlies being listed in the endangered as an endangered species, etc. I mean, look at them. They're all over the place right now. Anyway, big news. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon announcing a recent successful translocation of two grizzlies from the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem in Montana to the greater Yellowstone ecosystem in Wyoming. We're going to talk about that and more as we kick off the program here this morning. Great to have the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, ahead of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Director Temple, on the show with us. Hey, thanks again for being with us here on Montana Talks.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, before we get to that story, there was another headline that caught my eye last week. FWP releases 2023 wolf report, population strong after increased harvest. Wow, no big surprise to many of us here in Montana that, hey, look, we know that these wolves will dramatically repopulate, so the hunting wasn't going to be a major problem there. But that's not what we read in the news back at the time, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we monitor wolf populations along with all of our other populations in the state, and, you know, we're under a directive from the legislature to reduce the wolf population, so we're careful and measured about how we do that. But what the wolf report tells us is that wolves are doing well in Montana under state management. They should stay under state management, and the commission will be considering the upcoming wolf hunting and trapping season at its meeting on August 16th.
Does that lead us to believe that, hey, maybe we need more hunting to take place? I mean, not even just to continue to defend the hunting that's already on the books, but maybe allow more of it?
Well, I think, you know, what you see in our proposal is, you know, we want to be careful as we look to manage wolves in Montana. We want to make sure that we don't flirt with anything that might give someone a reason to put them back on the endangered species list. But again, the legislature clearly spoke and said they want fewer wolves in Montana. And what we know about wolves is they do pretty darn well. And so the decision space for the commission is wide. There's lots of people on each side of the issue. But, you know, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks proposals, based on the science, is to provide a proposal that takes into account all of the harvest, all of the information we have, and complies with the law, which is to reduce the wolf population.
All right, well, we're going to talk more with Director Dustin Temple with the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Quick break. We'll talk about this grizzly bear translocation as well. And, hey, you know, what's the story there? Is it good news for Montana? Hey, here you go, Wyoming, have some of our grizzlies. But really, the bigger picture is this is just one more reason why the population is flourishing, and why we should end these crazy, endangered species protections that are on the books right now. We'll talk with the director right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have FWP Director Temple on the show with us here for just a few minutes. And then after we chat with him, we'll open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about for the rest of the hour. Director Temple, yeah, I saw this headline here. Governor Gianforte and Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon celebrate successful grizzly bear translocations. You know, my first reaction, you know, I was out enjoying the weekend, spent some time on the lake. When I first saw this headline, I was like, great, we've got too many grizzlies here in Montana. Here, Wyoming, you have some, but there's actually more to the story. Tell us why this whole translocation occurred.
So, Aaron, Aaron, in Montana, we have two recovered grizzly bear cup populations, the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem and then the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem, which we share with Idaho and Wyoming. And one of the issues or the conversations over the years about delisting has been genetic isolation of those populations from one another. At some point, we expect those two populations to connect, through grizzly bear migration. But the reason we did this is this gives nature a little bit of a head start. So we've taken two good candidate bears, one from the Middle Fork of the Flathead, one from the North Fork of the Flathead, and moved them down into both in Wyoming, one in the Bridger-Teton National Forest and the other in Yellowstone National Park. And so we've taken bears from one population, moved them to another, gives us a chance for genetic interchange, maybe earlier than it might happen otherwise.
Well, and I think also, as you know, I kind of talked offline here, this also shows just once again how successful, how big these numbers are right now, how successful the state of Montana and, frankly, the state of Wyoming is when it comes to, grizzlies, their population numbers. And so it's just one more reason why the feds need to take them off of the endangered species list.
I agree. All three states have worked hard on grizzly bear conservation for 40 years. And, here in Montana, we've taken some extraordinary steps to ensure recovered status beyond the day that the federal government isn't in control, to ensure that there's no unregulated take. The legislature, the governor that supported us in giving us more resources to do this translocation. This was an ask that we made in the 23 session specifically to address this concern, and the governor supported that and the legislature supported that and gave us the resources to do that. So Montana's been at the forefront of grizzly bear recovery throughout its history. The state is well positioned to catch grizzly bears when they come off the list, and we believe that Montana wildlife should be managed by folks here in Montana, so in concert with landowners and sportsmen and other folks that care about wildlife, and those decisions should be made here locally, not necessarily somewhere else. And again, we've got adequate safeguards in place to make sure that grizzly bears continue to do well. And again, this translocation is just another example of the significant commitment Montana has made to making sure grizzly bears stay recovered now and into the future.
Yeah, I think about it, to use an Olympics analogy, there's this incredible, archer out of Billings, Montana, who has gotten a silver and a bronze in the Olympics here over the past few days in archery. And this is basically like another arrow in your quiver. What are some of the other arrows in your quiver to make the case for delisting?
Montana has made significant investments in terms of staff, time, and resources, and monitoring, research, all of the things that we need to do to make sure we have good information to make decisions. We put into our rule that there would be no hunting of grizzly bears for 5 years after delisting, so that we know exactly how that population is going to respond to state management with some of the other things that may occur. We provided a mechanism, a controlled mechanism, for landowners to protect their private property if a grizzly bear was actually attacking them, but didn't allow them the discretion to do anything if, for example, they felt the bear was simply threatening their livestock. They had to call the department and let the experts, the local bear conflict folks, make that determination. So we've done a lot of things recently in the last 3 years under this administration to further advance the cause of grizzly bear conservation and recovery and provide guarantees to folks in terms of both state law and administrative rule by the commission that, hey, grizzly bears are going to be fine under state management here in Montana.
And what, we were supposed to have a decision already or a decision coming soon, but basically the feds just keep punting. What have they now punted it in January of 2025?
Yeah, so all three states have petitioned for delisting, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. Montana's petition was first. Wyoming's followed right after that, and then Idaho came a few months later. The feds are required to make a decision within 12 months. They're well beyond that. The state of Wyoming filed a complaint, and I think in response to that, there was some assurances given that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would make that decision here at the end of July, and we've learned recently that the service has filed a declaration saying that will make all three of those decisions at the end of January in 2025. So we were hoping for a decision on at least Wyoming's petition here this summer, but it doesn't look like that's forthcoming.
Federal courts, obviously elections can make a big difference on who sits in on those federal courts. January 2025, does it basically come down to what happens in November?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I have no idea what the vacancies look like on those federal courts, and it's well above my pay grade anyway. But, you know, we believe that our petition for delisting is sound. I know Wyoming and Idaho feel that way themselves. Montanans, folks in Wyoming and Idaho have all sacrificed a lot to recover this species. It's been good work by a lot of people. There's been a lot of money invested, a lot of time, and it's for a good reason, but it is time. When populations recover under the ESA, you delist them because that's what you're supposed to do, and that's
the right thing to do. All right, we got to hold it right there.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. And thanks again to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Director Dustin Temple for joining us for a quick update on both of those big stories, frankly, from grizzlies to wolves. Montana wolf population strong despite increased harvest limits. I had a great email last week, and, we had a lot of big news last week. We broke the story for you that President Trump is coming back to Montana this Friday for a Trump rally at the Brick Breeding Fieldhouse in Bozeman. I'll be there. Hope to see many of you there as well. And then right after that, literally, I'll wake up probably dark and early the next morning after the Trump rally, hit the road for Kalispell because we got a cool event right around noon, I think, is when we're going to do it. Around noon in Kalispell, we're gonna be at a gas station. I'll tell you about this later in the week. We're going to be at a gas station helping to pay your gas bill. So, because I know you guys are getting hit hard by inflation, you're getting, paying more for groceries, everything because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester's policies. And so we want to help you fill up your tank. So we'll be doing an event at a gas station in Kalispell around noon Saturday. And then that's right before the big Jim Jordan rally takes place. I'll be emceeing the Jim Jordan, Ryan Zinke rally in Kalispell on a Saturday afternoon. I think 3 o'clock is when that one's scheduled to start. And just a series of big hitters coming to Montana. President Trump Friday night, Jim Jordan Saturday afternoon. And then Steve Scalise will be in Bozeman on the 12th. And then Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, I'll be emceeing that event as well. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, along with Congressman Ryan Zinke, they'll be in Billings Friday, August 16th. All the details for all those events at MontanaTalks.com. But so much was going on last week that I specifically held onto this email for this week. And as luck would have it, we ended up getting the head of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks on the show just now. This was the email I got last week from Brian. I think Brian's in Livingston, if I'm not mistaken. Brian, I apologize. It didn't say where he was writing in from, but Brian sent me this email. FWP releases 2023 wolf report. Population strong after increased harvest. Do you guys remember all the fake news media coverage? They were just running with the talking points of the radical environmental extremist groups. Oh, if Montana allows these wolf hunts to go forward, they're going to decimate the wolf population. And we were calling them on their BS as it was in real time. We were real time fact checking the fake news media. That give me a break. We had, wolf experts call into this show and guys that actually trap these things that know what's going on. And they're like, no. Like these things, they rapidly expand their population so easily that the hunting that we're doing right now, and they're such an evasive, elusive creature, that the hunting we're doing now and the trap, There's no way we're going to be able to hold back these population numbers. And these numbers confirm exactly what we were saying back when. Let's see. Look at these numbers. Let's see. Here we are. Quentin Kajala, FW Chief of Conservation Policy. We are committed to following the law to reduce wolf numbers to a sustainable level, which means ensuring Montana has a healthy state-managed population. The statewide wolf population estimate for calendar year 2023 is approximately 1,100 wolves, similar to 2023. However, we are seeing declines in the estimated number of wolves and wolf packs in regions 3 and 4, which suggests the combination of hunting, trapping, and conflict management removals can effectively reduce wolf numbers. So what they're trying to do is basically straddle the fence here between, okay, we've been directed by the state legislature to reduce wolf numbers, but at the same time, they don't want to reduce, see the numbers reduced so much to where, you know, basically you just, then you trigger these radical environmental wacko groups going to a liberal federal judge here in Montana to shut it all down altogether, which is what they want to do. The estimated statewide wolf population for 2023 was 1,096, just one less than the 2022 estimated population, and slightly below the 10-year average of 1,140 wolves, but well above recovery thresholds. Now, what I also wonder is if these numbers are low, are they able to get an accurate count, or is this an undercount? I mean, that's just another follow-up question I would have here. But the email that I got from Brian, and I can't remember if it was Brian in Livingston or where Brian was messaging us from, but Brian said this: remember all the hate and discontent from the wolf lover lefties after hunters had a good wolf season in 2022? We didn't even make a dent in the population. I wonder if the Montana media will report and recant. Well, it sounds like they've reported on some of these numbers, Brian, but I don't think they've recanted on their prior fake news coverage or acknowledged the fear-mongering alarmist rhetoric out of not only these radical environmental groups, but their scribes in the media as well. So that was a great email that I got from Brian. I mentioned the director had to run into another meeting, but real quickly during that last break, I asked Director Temple a follow-up question, just a really quick one, because, you know, before the break, I asked him, I said, well, does it really come down to November? And he gave a nice response. Let me tell you my response. I do believe that this comes down to November. If you want common sense decisions, common sense decision making, look, let's be honest. This is all I know. You know, people are like, oh, why does everything have to be political? Because it is. Because it is. You've got federal agencies. When Donald Trump's in charge, all of a sudden, huh, we're getting common sense decisions. We end the waters of the U.S. When a wildfire broke out in eastern Montana, you had a Montana Secretary of the Interior who made a common sense decision and said, hey, let's open up the CMR for grazing. Help these ranchers out. Lost a whole bunch of grass. Yeah, common sense decision. And then you get Joe Biden in charge. And now all of a sudden you see a target on the back of our union coal workers in Colstrip. Just like you saw a target on the back of Keystone Pipeline workers, many of whom were union workers. And so, look, it's very clear. One side wants to keep these things on the endangered species list and wants to keep targeting you, your ranch, your hunting grounds, you name it, with more predators. The other side wants to restore balance and common sense decision making. But the question that, so when it comes to the U.S. Senate race, that those types of issues are front and center. When it comes to the presidential race, these types of issues should be front and center. Because who puts the federal judges on the bench? The president makes the nomination, but based off of typically the senator from that specific state. So, and what have we seen? John Tester's, you know, recommendations for federal judges are these radical environmental judges who will rule against oil, gas, and coal, who will rule on behalf of the radical environmental groups. You get political appointees like Tracy Stone Manning put in charge of the Bureau of Land Management that rule against the ranchers and rule on behalf of the radical environmentalists at the American Prairie Reserve and elsewhere that want to shut you down and kick you off the land. There is a very clear difference here. But the question that I also asked Director Temple was very quickly during the break. I said, hey, I know you got to run, but real quickly, will the recent Chevron deference decision by the United States Supreme Court, will that impact potential future decision-making when it comes to, you know, things like the Endangered Species Act, things like grizzlies, things like wolves? Or is the ESA so specifically written that the overturning of the Chevron deference may not apply? I know that sounds a little wordy. I kind of nerded out on some of you there for just a moment. So let me try to put it in more plain English. What the Supreme Court said in 1984 is, yeah, you know what? If Congress writes some vague law, we don't know if something's against the law or is or isn't against the law. You know what? We'll just defer to the feds. We'll let the Department of Education. We'll let the Department of this, the Department of that. We'll let them decide whether that's against the law or not. And what that's done is that's allowed them to willy-nilly do whatever they want and run over you and tell you, nope, that's against the law. Nope. Some unelected federal bureaucrat. And that's been the fight that's been on our hands now for decades. The U.S. Supreme Court, with Trump appointees on the court, overturned that deference and said, no, the deference does not go to the federal government. If Congress doesn't say something's against the law, it's not against the law. And so what I asked Director Temple is, do you believe that this will also apply to these endangered species decisions? And the very short answer is hey, look, we're still looking at it. We're still weighing the full impacts of the Chevron decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. But yes, we believe that it will have an impact on these endangered. So basically, if the feds, whether it's this guy in charge of the White House or this gal in charge of the White House or whoever, if they willy-nilly say, yeah, you know what? We're going to ignore science. We're going to ignore common sense. We're going to ignore farmers and ranchers in Montana. And we're going to ignore hunters and outdoorsmen in Montana. We're just going to decide that we want to keep these things on the endangered species list. The Supreme Court Chevron deference says, you don't have the deference to do that. Never should have, should they?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA's released its land values report for the price of farm and ranch real estate. The price has increased 5% overall from last year, averaging $4,170 per acre. Nationwide, cropland values were up $250 per acre, or 4.7%, valued at $5,570 an acre, while pasture land is up $90 per acre nationally from last year at $1,800 and $30 an acre. Now, surprisingly, Montana and Colorado saw a decrease in the price of their cropland values. Montana down 0.8% at $1,280 an acre, while pasture land in the Big Sky State up 0.9% at $890 an acre. In Wyoming, pasture land was up 0.4% this year at $740 an acre, while Wyoming's cropland value is up 1% at $1,960 an acre. Also, the Speer Livestock Video Auctions Video Royale sale last week marketed just under 180,000 head of cattle. The market trend $2 to $6 lower than the week in the Rockies sale. Not a lot of Montana cattle selling, but the price for the 6 to 6.5 weight Montana steers, $2.83. I'm Lane North.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got Alan and Bozeman. We got Jerry and the Gallatin Gateway. Maybe I'll see both of you guys Friday night in Bozeman for the big Trump rally. I had a question. Who was it? It was it Dan in Billings? It was a listener in Billings wanted to know, hey, what is the date and time for all those other rallies? Go to MontanaTalks.com. I've got sign up, ticket info, dates, times, everything. It's all there. So if you're looking for specific days, specific times, but yeah, Trump rally this Friday, 8 p.m. start. But you're going to want to get there early. In fact, Julie in Hardin said this. Hey, Aaron, I signed up for a couple tickets through the link you provided for the Trump rally. I heard you say that you told somebody to take the whole day off to get there early enough to get in. We are unable to do that. So I was wondering if we will still be able to attend. It's worth a shot, Julie. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to discourage anybody from going because it's just incredible. Just seeing the crowd of folks that show up for Trump rallies. I mean, it's just kind of like a once in a lifetime experience. So, what I would encourage people though is get there as early as you can because, you know, the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse, you know, it fits thousands of people, but it can't fit all of the people in Montana that want to go show support for President Trump. And Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, that's for sure. Let's go into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Alan in Bozeman, great to hear from you.
How's it going today?
Hey, great.
I'm just amazed at watching this world unfold. The stock market is plummeting. Israel is surrounded by enemies that want to start a third world war. And these clowns are out there trotting out Kamala Harris, proclaiming what a fresh air she is. What a genius. How she's been here all along. We haven't noticed her. But now she's here to lead us into what? More of the same? And the scary part is that 40% of the American people are imbecilic enough to buy into this garbage. So the worst enemy the United States has right now, as far as I'm concerned, is the news media. Because they do this, they sample the polls, they do all this stuff, they try to dishearten us, all us, the Trumpers out there, whoever we are, they're out there, oh no, you know, you got this juggernaut now called the Harris, and I wouldn't even let her run a McDonald's, she's too dumb. Anyway, I'm sad for America, God help us.
Well, those are good jobs too, running a McDonald's. I mean, man, there's people that have very successful careers doing that. Great management opportunities. Yeah, no, hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, I got the breaking news alert. It came in at about 12:30 this morning, so a little after midnight from the New York Times, but I saw it, unfortunately, a couple hours later. So I was like, I get up early enough, and then I woke up even earlier. Come on! The breaking news alert from the New York Times, stocks in Japan plunged as a sell-off in global markets turned into a rout, with investors growing uneasy about signs of a slowing U.S. economy. And then, of course, I had to share that via Twitter, via X, and make the point. First off, Alan, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. And Bozeman made the point. You know, but Kamala says Bidenomics is working. Not only look at the economy, but as Alan pointed out, look at what's going on in the Middle East right now. And just really all over the world, they've got us on the brink of World War III. Donald Trump had peace in the Middle East going between Israel, between all these Arab countries, peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement between, you know, Israel and all these Arab countries. And then Joe Biden deliberately tanked the peace process because he wanted to make Donald Trump look bad. And he started attacking the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, who was also working on peace deals. It's just so shameful. And look at what the outcome of all that has been. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Jerry in Gallatin Gateway. Jerry, great to hear from you.
Hey, Aaron. Wanted to call. You've probably heard it. I don't know if it's a new ad that they're running for tester. It's about starts out like something about these rich out-of-staters that are like cattle lice crawling all over. and, you know, Sheehy just went and bought this ranch. Now he's shutting it down. You know, they're all saying about Sheehy buying this ranch, but what about the APR? Nobody seems to care about the rich out-of-staters and rich foreigners buying up all that land up south of Malta, them ranches, and it's come across the river to Winifred now. What about the thousands and thousands of acres that those rich out-of-staters are buying? That's okay, but Sheehy wants to buy one, and oh boy, that's not good.
And by the way, there, what a bunch of phony BS in these ads that Chuck Schumer and John Tester are throwing out there. There's still public access on the public lands there. Give me a break. They're so full of garbage. But yeah, isn't it interesting? I actually put this throwback on our Montana Talks website for you today. You make several great points here. First off, the American Prairie Reserve. Why do we never hear John Tester criticizing the APR? Because the APR donors are his donors. Because Tracy Stone Manning was his buddy, his personal staffer that he put in charge of the Bureau of Land Management to benefit the APR and to attack the ranchers. That's why you never hear him criticize them, because he's one of them.
Yeah, you know it. But, oh, I've been tough on Biden, his advertisements. I, you know, secure the border. It's like, what? How can they stand there and just flat out lie?
Because they think they can get away with it. They think you're dumb enough to fall for it again. They think that you're dumb enough to watch the fake news media that's been lying to you for the last 8 years, or longer than that, but in particular in the Trump years and in the Biden years. They think you're dumb enough to fall for it. They think when Kamala Harris tells you on camera that she's against red meat and she's against fracking, that if they tell you she doesn't believe those things anymore, that you were dumb enough to believe it.
Yeah. In that, unfortunately, there's some people are, but hey, we did get, as soon as you put that on your deal there, we got signed up for tickets, and I've heard, well, I know that the field house seats 8,500 people, and I heard that people still need to call in and check, but it was like the next day a guy called in and they said they were sold out.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, man, 8,000 for a Trump rally? Look, I know Montana isn't the most populated state out there, but, oh, man, there are a ton of people that are going to want to be there for that. So,
it's from Hardin. I mean, you know, that's, you know, coming. I'd be honest with you, I signed up for two tickets, and parts of me, I would like to just take my new MAGA flag and go stand out in front and wave that, to be honest with you. That's going to be a nightmare in that field house, you know, trying to get there early. Well, yeah, I can't get off till 6 o'clock, so it's like, oh, my God, you know.
But just being there to show support. I think just being there to show support and to show how committed we are to saving this country, I think is going to be huge.
I do, too. Just how many people, just, you know, the numbers, that's what I think. Just a body. And like I say, parts of me, I'd rather stand outside with my new MAGA flag and waving that, you know, really, in a way, it'd be, Anyways, I just wanted to say, this Tester ad, you know, she'd be buying up a ranch, but it's okay if the APR, you know, buys it up and shuts it off.
Well, that's because John Tester, there's two things John Tester does not want. He does not want young people going into agriculture because, see, those farmers and ranchers don't typically vote his direction, so he doesn't want more of them. Second thing, he wants veterans to be victims. He doesn't want veterans to be successful. He wants veterans to be victims that have to beg him for help because of the VA that he's screwing up as chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. He needs you to be dependent on him. Success? Private sector success, that's a threat to him. And by the way, speaking of JT, John Tester, he celebrated when JT Justin Timberlake bought a place in Big Sky. But if you're an Iraq, Afghanistan veteran that comes home and ends up becoming successful, so successful that you too can buy a place in Big Sky, John Tester will attack you. But he'll celebrate if Justin Timberlake and his other Hollywood celebrity buddies do the same thing. He is such a phony. And that article is another reason that exposes his phoniness. Jerry, thanks for the call. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Nancy in Bozeman. Nancy, thanks for your call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my husband and I signed up right away for Trump tickets. And we got, or yesterday, my husband got information saying that we need to provide our Social Security numbers. And I wouldn't provide mine. I said, I'm not giving my Social Security number to anybody. So I don't know if anybody else has had to do that.
Interesting. So I signed up for media credentials, just being a, having a radio show, so that I could be there and kind of cover the event. So I wasn't asked for that. But I, were you trying
I wouldn't give them mine.
Well, yeah, I know Secret Service. Like, if you were to, like, if I were to go to the White House, they would ask for my, you know, Social Security number before going into the White House so they can do a background check. Is that for VIP tickets or for general tickets? Anyway, stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good question from Bruce in Ennis. Is there a big screen outside the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse? Good question. Yeah, I don't have the answer to that one for you, but maybe one of our listeners does. Nancy in Bozeman said she had one more thing she wanted to share with you. Nancy, thanks for sticking around.
At this point, yeah, absolutely. I listen to you regularly. I remember when Donald Trump beat Hillary, I told my husband, I said, poor Donald Trump. He will never have one day of peace for the rest of his life. And hasn't that been proven true?
Oh, yeah.
That poor man, what they have put him through?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Aaron, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible what they put him through.
Well, that's why they despise him so much. I mean, look, they trashed George W. Bush. They trashed Dick Cheney. They trashed... you know, John McCain was their buddy until he became the Republican nominee, and then they trashed John McCain, and they trashed Mitt Romney. But they don't have the hatred for Mitt Romney that they do for Donald J. Trump, because Donald Trump fights back, and he defeated Hillary Clinton. He defeated them.
Oh, absolutely. She will never get over that till the day she dies. And I just feel so bad for him, what they put him through. It's just horrific.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. Well, let's see. We had somebody reply to us on our Montana Talks app saying they only needed to give their name and their phone number, two tickets per phone number. They said they didn't have to give their Social Security number. So, yeah, maybe just double check where you were signing up through. And good choice being cautious there before inputting your Social Security number there, Nancy. Nancy, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's going on?
You need a big screen for this one.
I'll bet.
The last president to lock horns with Congress was none other than Richard Nixon. He prompted congressional action to defang the president for any further domestic affairs. He tried to cut and to do things that Donald Trump maybe is doing. 1974, the Congress passed the Budget of Empowerment Control Act. When's the last time politicians have really jumped into that one? The chief executive has been defanged. He doesn't have any control over this terrible, terrible, budget that we have now, $35 trillion. It has exploded under the Democrats, who passed that Control Act 1974. No one has been able to ever get the line item veto going there. So if they get on here on the radio...
Well, the Supreme Court threw that out, didn't they? Didn't they throw out the line item veto, if I recall right?
Yeah, the American history, it's not operational, though. So, I mean, when is the last time you heard of a president or anybody cutting a budget like Richard Nixon attempted to do back then? See, and they dirtied him till no end.
Yeah, all they do is reduce the increase. That was always one of my big pet peeves, especially in the 1990s. I mean, I was just a junior high and then a high school kid in the 1990s. A little bit of college in the late 90s. But you know, the fake news media would always be like, Republicans are trying to cut the budget. Really? An increase is not a cut. Now, maybe they didn't increase it as much as you guys wanted them to, but an increase is not a cut. It's not a reduction. The fake news media has been easy to spot for quite some time. They've just become crazier since the 1990s, haven't they? Chris, thanks for the call. We only got a couple of minutes left here. Last week, you guys probably covered this on Friday, isn't it just crazy how much they go after Trump? They've even disbarred Trump's lawyers. And I've made this before. Look, they even go after Donald Trump's lawyers. They go after Donald Trump's lawyers, but yet they praise the lawyers who represent the 9/11 terrorists down at Guantanamo Bay. If you guys missed the news last week, the Biden Defense Department supported a plea deal for the 9/11 terrorists down at Gitmo. Thankfully, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin stepped in at the last minute and blocked it all. Congressman Ryan Zinke was on the Foxcast and had this to say.
We begin this Saturday morning with a Fox News alert. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revoking a plea deal that would have taken the death penalty off the table for the accused mastermind of the 9/11 attacks and two other alleged terrorists. They would have pled guilty to all charges, including the murder of the 2,976 people that died on that day.
Austin also relieving the defense official who signed off on the plea deal, saying in a statement, quote, "I have determined that in light of the significance of the decision to enter into pretrial agreements with the accused in the above referenced case, responsibility for such a decision should rest with me as the superior convening authority. Effective immediately, I hereby withdraw from the three pretrial agreements that you signed on July 31st, 2024, in the above referenced case."
The Police Benevolent Association reacting to the reversal, saying, quote, "The families of our 9/11 heroes channeled their anguish and outrage into a powerful message. We are relieved and grateful, but the job is not done yet. These terrorists who claim so many innocent lives should receive the ultimate punishment."
All right. I thought that was the audio with Congressman Zinke, but he weighed in on that. If you missed it, Fox News has it. Anyway, thanks for